Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
I want to talk about having a vision for every area of your life. I talk about this, I allude to it a fair amount. I don't teach on it enough. And today, if you're a guest today, welcome. I am not going to be leading a Bible study. I am going to speak with you under the spirit of prophecy. I am believing that the Lord is going to impart something to your spirit man, and that something is going to be awakened on the inside of you, that you're going to gain the ability to walk in God's purpose in areas of your life if you desire to do so. Amen. I believe that you're going to be activated in some gifts today to discern God's will and begin to put them into practice. Amen. That is my goal today. I will be doing teaching. I will teach out of the Bible, but the main goal here is spiritual. Just so you know, it's going to be a one-week message series. I talk about this a lot. I don't teach on it enough. I believe many people live frustrated lives because they don't have a real goal. And so sometimes you make up a goal and you get more frustrated because you don't reach it. And it's like the creation coming up with its own purpose. It's better if you get with the Creator, find the purpose, walk in that, then you exercise fulfillment. Amen. It's extremely frustrating to work in a job and not know what your boss wants from you. And all you get is them to scream at you when you're not doing what they want. That's frustrating, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever worked under somebody who's not a very good boss? They don't articulate what they specifically want you to do, but you always know when you're doing something wrong. Right. But you have no idea what right is. That's frustrating. And many people don't, and let me say it this way. If you're not hearing the confirmation of God's will in your life, the enemy will fill that void with condemnation. And so if you're only hearing condemnation about your future, about your present, about where you're going, it's because you've not filled that void with God's direction. Does this make sense? And so what we want to do is we want to listen. Okay, tell me what I'm supposed to do here, and I'll go do it, and I'll live a life of victory. Because if the one who created you tells you what your purpose is, then you're bound to walk in it because he created you for that purpose. Right? I buy stuff for a purpose. I spend my hard-earned money on stuff. And I ask for things I want for Christmas. In my family, we put together a Google Doc and we share it with the family, our Christmas wish. We make it pretty clear, this is what I would like for Christmas. Now, you don't have to go along with that, but I tell you stuff I want because I have a reason for it, right? I've got some new headphones, some, you know, these jawbone things that vibrate through your head and don't even, I use them for a purpose. Now, I got them for Christmas. Hallelujah. My wife got them for me, and I took them and used them. I wasn't mad at my new headphones because it didn't act like a flashlight. If I need a flashlight, I'll buy a flashlight. And I'll get the flashlight, I'll research them, I'll get the exact one I want, and I'll praise it for doing exactly what I wanted it to do. Yeah. If my flashlight tries to act like headphones, I'm going to be frustrated. Yeah. The flashlight's not going to get praise, it's going to be under condemnation. Right? I put on the headphones, I love the headphones. I'm praising the headphones, they can feel good about themselves, right? You are created with a purpose. And when you're working in toward another purpose, you're going to live a life of frustration. Because you're not getting the victories God designed you to receive. That's why we need to have a vision for every area of our life. Are you with me? You will be. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, if you need a handout, if you want to take notes, you can just write them on a piece of paper. If you need one, raise a hand, and I bet an usher will bring one to you. Raise them nice and high. Hallelujah. If I can get some ushers to just hand them out to some people. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 18, Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, I pray. Now, let me say this. How many of you would like Paul to be praying for you? I believe that Jesus heard Paul's voice. Amen. He heard the prayers of Paul. If you need to just keep your hand nice and high. And so this, of all the things Paul could be praying, now, I don't know if you know this, but Paul wrote Bible. So if he's praying things for you, they're biblical. Like that? Like that. So if Paul's praying them for you, that means it has to be possible for you to receive it. I pray, this is Paul, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, I'm not going to go through every verse like this, but there was a song, remember, that opened the eyes of my, you probably remember it. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Who remembers that? Have you ever thought about the eyes of your heart being open? What the heck that even means? Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. We just sing it. We'll just sing stuff. Open the eyes. What does that mean? I don't know. Sure is fun to sing, though. I want to see you. And so we're looking for him, but he's talking about the eyes of your heart. Like, what does that mean? Well, it's a Bible verse right here. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So what does it mean to see him? Watch this. So that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. This is the prayer of Paul over you. This is the prayer in the word over you. Now, if you remember, we just did the offering confession, and half the words weren't on the screen. Did you notice that? That's because we're not done with our fundraising. We've upgraded, but not fully. So if you didn't give in the Christmas offering, see, the blessings get diminished. If we don't give what we're supposed to give, we couldn't do the full confession. That's totally what it is. But Paul wants us to live a life from vision. He wants us to live a life, not just goals. And a lot of people make goals in New Year's, and goals are good. But goals are good if they're good goals. It's not good just to make up stuff. It's not good just to let anybody fill a void on what you're supposed to accomplish, who you're supposed to be. We're supposed to live a life with vision. Now, here's the first thing I want you to write down, and we're going to answer this question. Why live with vision? Why live from vision? Why live from vision? Well, before you were saved, you just kind of did whatever. Just did whatever. In Judges, it talks several times that he says, there was in that day and age, there was no prophet in the land, and each man lived as he saw fit. Now, that wasn't a compliment. Everybody just did whatever they wanted to do. There was no prophet. Listen to this. There was no prophet, so people just lived however they decided in their own heart. There was no there was no voice of God, so they just did whatever. And if you read about these seasons, they never came into God's will. They never came into his purpose. So many people lament that they don't come into his purpose, but you can't just go outside and just start driving and expect to get to grandma's house. There's got to be a map. And there has to be a vision of, I'm going to get to grandma's house. We don't just get in our car and say, I'm just going to drive somewhere and I'm going to wind up in a good place and people are going to love me and my life's going to be good. Right? We have, okay, I want to go somewhere. I'll get in my car and I'll drive there. How are you going to get there? I'll look at a map. And that's what we need to do with life. Where am I going? How am I going to get there? Where am I supposed to go should be the first question. And we live lives from vision when we know where we're going. The vision is, where am I going? Without Christ, people have three visions. Who am I? Three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? You can't answer any of those without Jesus. You can't answer any of those without Jesus. And so we have to figure out, where am I going? And I got to figure out a plan to get there. And I want to have Jesus in with the plan making. Proverbs 29 says, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. You may have read it. You've got the old King Jimmy. It says people perish. That word is really better translated unrestrained. And if you look at where that word is used in Scripture, it really talks about kind of like a ship with no captain and it's not moored. It's not tied up to the dock. It's just floating wherever. And ships are supposed to float, but we're not supposed to just go wherever the tide takes us. Right? Amen? And if you're taking notes, write this down. We never reach our goals because we've never articulated the values they represent. We never reach our goals because we never articulate the values they represent. Now, we're supposed to have goals because goals are supposed to protect our values. Our goals protect our values. When you live your life from vision, it'll cause you to be brave and make decisions that reflect your values. We try to teach our kids, in general, from the pulpit and in our family, listen, you got to stand for something because people are going to come and they're going to offer you something different than what you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be and where you're going. And you better have a plan before you need to make a plan. You better make a decision before you have to make a decision. If people ask you to do these things and they violate your values, you better have an answer already. Otherwise, people will sway you. If you don't have values, if you don't have goals, if you don't have a direction you're going, then you're just open to any current. And we don't want you to be open to any current. We want you to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if you've not heard Him on where you're going, then you'll just take any avenue. Yeah. And that's not how we want to live. We have to make decisions that protect our values. Right? And then we have to prioritize those over other things. We say we value our marriage, and we say we value family, but we sin in ways that destroy them. Right? We say we want our children to understand that decisions have consequences, but then we shield them from the consequences of their decisions. We say we want real friendships, and we want friendships with people that aren't fake. We want real, genuine friendships with people, but then we hide authenticity for fear of rejection. We've prioritized something above what our values are. And so we never actually come into our purpose because we've prioritized above the things above what we say we value. Does that make sense? We set something as a higher priority than what we say we value. This is what they call setting the urgent above the important. And let me give you an example. say you lead a business and you say, hey, it's God, family, business. God, family, business. Right? But Christmas morning, there's a business emergency, and you dip out of Christmas to take care of work. There's an urgent problem, but it's not more important than your family. And so now you're taking care of the important over the urgent. Does that make sense? You set date night for your wife. Your marriage is on the rocks right now. Not getting divorced, but you know, just not getting along. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just you need to add a little more sugar. You set a, and then all of a sudden, an emergency comes up. You know? Supposed emergency, you know, your mother calls you or the work, whatever, your friend. And what do? You go with what you said was a priority, or do you go with the urgent because someone else is setting a priority for you? And if you've not decided what your priorities are, then all of a sudden you're neglecting the important things for something that seems urgent. Does this make sense? So we have to articulate our values. We have to let our values become goals, and we have to live from this vision, right? If you don't have, like, say you haven't ever really thought in these terms before, I want to challenge you to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit real quick. This is in Galatians, obviously. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Leave that up. It takes effort to produce those. You have to cooperate with God to produce those. It's easier to not be patient. It's easier to be depressed than it is to be joyful. It's easier to be mean than to be kind. It's easier to do whatever feels good than to be faithful. It's easier. But at some point, you got to say, okay, I am going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. I am going to cooperate with Holy Spirit, deny the urgent desires of my body, elevate these things that are actually values in my life, and not do things that violate my values. This makes sense. I have a value in my life. My marriage is the most important relationship on earth that I have. My relationship with my wife is more important than my relationship with my children. I've already decided that. That doesn't mean I neglect my children for my wife, because my marriage values are children. However, my marriage is the most important value that I have. So I do things to protect my marriage, right? I don't hang out with women who aren't named Tracy Thomas and married to me. I have the most important relationship with a woman I have is my wife. And I don't even violate that relationship for the relationship with my mother. Some of you have parents who talk bad about your spouse and you let them. That's sin. That's sin. You cannot let that into your marriage. You have to protect that relationship. So the most valuable relationship I have is with my wife. The second most valuable relationship I have, so if you were to put a little circle, would be me and God. The next circle would be me, God, and my wife. Would be me and my would be my wife. The next circle would be my children, right? I have people in my life that are like children to me, but they're not my children. And so if you're getting, like, say you have a life event happening the day my children have something going on, I'm going to be at my children. I'm going to be with them. That's just how that's going to work. Oh, but you're a pastor. Yes, I'm a pastor. My first ministry is to God. My second ministry is to my wife. My third ministry is to my children. I have values. Now, if you have in your life, if I had so many things that are more important in the congregation because my life had issues, then I'm not at a place to be on this pulpit. Right? You can't say, well, I'm a pastor, so I don't need to take care of you. No, if your life is a mess, maybe let somebody else on the pulpit. Try again in a new season. Right? But I have values in my life, and you need to have values in your life that you're protecting. Right? My wife and I don't want debt. We don't want any debt. The only debt that we have right now by the grace of God is our mortgage and the cursed from the pit of hell student loans, right? We're too old to have student loans. I don't know if you know that. That's just, it don't make no sense. You're not too old. I am. My wife is, she could still be taking them out, right? But so we have a value for no debt. And so we have a policy. If we can't afford it, we don't buy it. And they're like, oh, well, you got to pay off your credit card debt. Don't have any. Oh, how do you not have credit card debt? We don't buy things we can't afford. It's radical. It's a radical idea in 2018. I go to stores, you can finance it. I'm like, no, I can't. No, it's easy. Nope, no thanks. I understand it's, you know, your main goal is to take money from me, but my priority is to be debt free. My priority is more important than being uncomfortable with you, Mr. Salesman. Right? So we need to live from vision. Otherwise, other people will set a vision for you. When you walk into a store, the salesman has a vision for your finances. Right? You walk in a car lot, they have a vision for your finances. You better walk onto that car lot with a vision for your finances. Otherwise, they will make you see that theirs is amazing. Yeah. Look, just 6 years. Look at this. Look how low the payment is. And it's only 6 years. If you owned a car for 6 years, it don't look nearly as pretty in 6 years. And you still making payments. I'm not talking to you. I'm just mean. Not you. I love you, Mike. No, I'm talking about you. I just meant, you know. Our cars are paid off. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm driving a car, and I'm Googling how to fix the AC. You know why? Because it's paid off. I like fixing my AC more than I like making a car payment. That's where I'm at. Does this make sense? So we want to be producing the fruit of the Spirit, and it takes work, right? We set things, as I said a second ago, as a higher priority than what we say we value, and then we complain that we don't have peace. We complain that we don't have friends, or we complain that our kids or our job or our marriage is a disappointment. But we haven't lived out of values that feed these areas of our life. Instead, expediency is what, oh, I just want to get out of this uncomfortable situation. Oh, I just don't want to be uncomfortable. Let me just do this thing. And expediency does not produce the fruit of the Spirit. Doing something quick to not be uncomfortable does not produce the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have some uncomfortable conversations with yourself and with the people around you to say, hey, I love you. That sounds awesome, but I just can't. Oh, no, you can't. No, really, I can't. I don't do that. No, this is the most important thing in my life right now. That's important, but not as important as this. Amen? You getting me? Here's the real trap that people fall in. You may have values, and you say you articulate values, but you never set them as goals, so you never reach them. You say you have a value for a peace-filled marriage where you understand one another, but you don't set that as a goal to be reached, so you never reach it. We have some gap in between what we say we want and what we are actually working toward, right? We say we don't feel successful, and that's often because we don't define the win. You have to define the win so you can have wins in your life. I know some people that I just think are amazing. They raised amazing kids. They have amazing lives. They're just neat people to be around, but they always feel unsuccessful. And it's because they don't set goals in their life. And they don't define the win. And if you don't define the win, somebody will. And most likely the enemy. And you're never going to win if he's setting the goal. That's what he does. He lets you know that you're constantly failing even when you're winning. Oh, look how amazing that was, but it could have been better. You have to set realistic goals. We'll get to that in 1 second. If you're not setting the goals of your life and defining the win, somebody else will, and it's normally somebody who has something to gain by it. So, personally, I want to be as successful as possible in as short a time as possible. I want to be as successful as possible in as short a time as possible. And success means achieving goals. That's what success means. You've achieved goals, right? Write this down if you're taking notes. No goals, no success. No goals, no success. You know what I like to do sometimes when I feel like I'm not getting anything done? When I'm just working, you ever just working around the house? Maybe you're working around the house, maybe you're working at work, maybe you're working in your ministry area, you feel like you're not getting anywhere. You know what I like to do? I like to take note of everything I accomplish. And here's where I do it. I put it on my task list, and then I check it off. Hear me. Some of you feel like you're constantly overwhelmed, you're never getting anywhere, you're never getting anything done. Start a task list. This is what I need to get done today. And as other things come up that aren't on your task list, write them on your task list and then check them off. At the end of the day, you'll see everything that you accomplished. And the lie that you didn't get anything done will be destroyed. Amen. And then you'll realize I actually get things accomplished. I'm not unsuccessful. I get things done. See, we start replacing the lie with the truth. Unless you're not getting anything done, and you'll see an empty piece of paper, and it'll just see Xbox on it. And you're like, okay, I need to make some changes in my life. I don't even think people do Xbox anymore. I could be wrong. I don't know. Okay. So what is a vision for an area of your life? What is a vision for an area of your life? Write this down. It's an articulation of goals that manifest your values. It's an articulation of goals that manifest your values. Let's go back to what Paul said in Ephesians 1:18. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling is the goal. He wants you to know the hope of his calling. He has a goal for your life to see the hope of his calling in you. The calling of God should produce hope in your life, not disappointment. If it's producing disappointment, then you've articulated the wrong goal. Does that make sense to anybody? This vision is the collision of your relationship with God. You are important. God created you with the... I wanted to tell you guys something. Hand me my phone, would you? Is my phone right over there? I was talking to God this morning. He told me to write something down. And then Lillian started singing it. I said, well, what do you know? God is talking. I asked the Lord, what are you saying to me right now? He said several things. He told me personally, he said, I'm with you today. Tell my people I love them. Amen. Tell my people I love them. God loves you. And he told me to tell you that individually. And then Lillian saying, dream big, aim high, for you're not alone. And I just received that for me. Amen. Amen? I received that for me. And so as you set these goals and as you start dreaming what you're going to do in 2018, you're not alone in this. You're not alone in this. It's not like you on your own have to start That's the world system. Figure out what you're able to do on your own and do that. We're doing something better. There's a collision of us and God. There's a collision of us and God produces the call in our life. You know that verse in James chapter 4, he says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. You ask and you don't receive because you don't ask amiss. Now, because you ask amiss. This having a vision for an area of your life is getting some goals and begin to bring them before the Lord and ask God, how does this look? Is this, am I going in the right direction? Are we heading where I'm supposed to be heading? And as you bathe these things in prayer, you start to find out what's God's goals and what aren't, right? Okay, hear me. Before Christ, remember, we just lived however we saw fit. We just did whatever, right? If it felt right, we did it. If it felt wrong, we might still do it, right? Like we just lived, right? And we may have gotten somewhere, may have had some goals. We're fighting back feelings of frustration and just, you know, ungodly draws in our life. But after Christ, what I found is people with life goals fall into two categories, right? They normally fall into two categories. If you put them up, please. Number one, the two bullet points. There's people who wait paralyzed for God to give them orders. I don't know what God wants me to do, so you do nothing. You're just stuck in a season doing nothing because you're waiting for God to tell you what to do. I don't know what God wants me to do, so I'm not doing anything. I don't know. I don't know what to do. God, like we're down here, we're the little robot, and he's the boss up there barking out orders, right? Or we make our own plans, and we hope that God anoints them. Yeah. I've decided to do this, right? And the problem with number one is we don't get anywhere. I don't know if you know this, but that season will take a very long time. Yes. And all you'll do is you will lower the goal until it's something you can do on your own. And you're like, well, this is probably it. Or you just make your own plans. And if you don't achieve them, you get, oh, God, you abandoned me. Why weren't you with me in this thing? I did a step of faith and you know, what happened? I don't know if I can. I want to tell you there's a third way. Because neither of these produce the peace we so desperately want. It doesn't produce the peace we desperately need. We start living, when we're in these scenarios, we start living to avoid failure. Yeah. Wow. Instead of living to achieve our destiny. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm obviously never going to sit down. So let me just put this right here. Right? We start living to avoid failure. And that's no way to live. It's no way to live. Instead, we need a vision, right? And so I want to teach you how to get a vision for any area of your life, right? And our vision needs to be in cooperation with God. Say that with me, in cooperation with God. We're going to say it together, my vision needs to be in cooperation with God. Let's say it together. My vision needs to be in cooperation with God. Sometimes God gives direct orders. Other times he tells you to do what you want, right? But most of the time, he wants to live in the collision between you and him. He wants you to discover the fullness of him in and through his Holy Spirit. And it takes intentionality to do that. You have to do it on purpose. He wants you to live in the Spirit, and he wants you to discover him in the Spirit that lives on the inside of you, right? And this takes, like I said, intentionality. You have to do it on purpose. This takes conversation with God. It takes reflection. It takes time. Yeah. It takes time. If you're living where I just want him to tell me what to do, he's just going to tell me what to do because there's nothing good in me and I'm just a sinner, sinful, totally depraved. There's nothing good in me. I would challenge you to get saved so you can receive the Holy Spirit so you can no longer say there's nothing good in me because he will live in you. Yeah, come on. It's impossible to say that I'm saved and there's nothing good in me. Yeah, come on. Right? That's blaspheming the Spirit, and we don't want to do that, right? Because he's holy. So he lives in you. The God of eternity lives in you, and he's fusing with your spirit, which is amazing. And he's transforming you, right? And so what I have found is when we set goals, there is a hierarchy of success. I'm giving you a lot. Listen to the podcast, right? In 2018, you have to decide. If a message speaks to you, you got to listen to it until it gets in your spirit. Amen? There's a hierarchy of success that I've seen. Put up the next slide, please. Number one, there's goals that he sets for you. I love when he tells me what to do because it's impossible to fail if you obey. We rarely hear those things correctly, though. Rarely. I mean, it's got to be a fairly urgent thing, and success is often different than what you thought it was. Success is often just doing what he told you to do, and it may or may not produce what you think it's going to produce. Right? That's a you can't fail type of thing, right? That's not that likely. Number two, so that's the most successful. The second is the goals you set together. This is what I like, okay? So you go, let's go back to your workplace scenario. And you sit down with your boss and you say, listen, I would like an articulation of what you're expecting from me. What I'm able to do, well, what would you like you to do is do this. You say, well, I can't do that. I don't speak that language. I don't have that skill set. That's not possible. Let's talk about what I can accomplish and what will be a win. Okay, and so you articulate what the win is. Then when review time comes, you knew it was expected of you. You've been doing that because you agreed on it, and now there's nothing but success, right? This is how your relationship with God is supposed to look. You set goals together, right? Less successful is the goals you set on your own, because then you've got to strive and just, I'm just going to be, because if you're saved, you're busy dreaming of God's kingdom, and you're setting goals that require his spirit to achieve, unless you learn to not really set big goals. And number four, the least successful things that will happen in your life are the goals set for you by other people. Does anybody know what I'm talking about there? Someone else has a vision for your life and they're pounding it into you, and all you're feeling is condemnation because they are not Holy Spirit and they are not your spirit. And so they're giving direction to you in a place that you're never supposed to receive it. A lot of children experience this by high-performing parents who want you to have the successes they were never able to achieve. And so they live vicariously through your childhood. It's your goal as a parent to figure out the gifts and calling on your children's life, and don't tell them what they are, but get them in places where they can discover them. And they can own them, and they can come into a relationship with God where they can receive that in their own life, and they can own the win. Husbands, same thing with your wives. Quit telling them what you think they should be achieving. Ladies, unless they're a slob, quit articulating what they should be achieving. Right? Let's encourage one another to discover in God what we're called to do, right? And so here's how you craft a vision for your life. Write down this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Are you getting anything out of this yet? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is Paul again, and he is another prayer and exhortation. He says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So literally, he says, I want you to be set apart completely. May the Lord set you apart completely. Now, sometimes we live our feet, one foot in each world. We're doing things on our own, and we kind of trust God. We're not really comfortable trusting him, so we still kind of reserve some. If you're not all in, it doesn't work. You got to be all in. You got to be trusting God. And so Paul prays, I pray that you'll be completely set aside for God, because that's how you get the God wins in your life. That's how you get the God wins in your life. When you set goals with God, now all of a sudden you have all his resources propelling your goals. Now imagine if Noah and Corey, talking about the offering today, Corey buys a gift for his mom that costs $100, right? And he says, here, Noah, give it to Nona. Is that what he calls? Noni. That's what I call mom. Noni, right? Give it to grandma. Give Noni this gift. And he's like, no, I really wanted to give her a necklace this year. Well, it's interesting, but you ain't got no necklace money. You're busy just running around screaming and pooping on yourself still. And you're trying to set necklace goals when I set a goal for you to give Noni this book, $100 book, I don't know. It could be a notebook, a digital notebook. I don't know. And so now I've bought it. I've set up the goal for you. I now have this thing that you can give her, and now you just get to win by giving her a gift. But you're saying, no, I want to come up with my own goal, and you don't achieve the goal because you don't have the resources to achieve that goal. God's like, we're going to come up with some goals, and you'll be able to fulfill this. So you're sitting at your job. We'll go back to our earlier illustration, and you work at a tire shop, we'll say, and the boss and you are getting together, and he's like, listen, I want you to be able to put 100 tires on a car a day. And you're like, that's awesome. I would also like to produce music. And he's like, well, that's interesting, but there's no music production happening here at the car repair shop. So I won't be paying you to produce any music here. Well, you can say I'm a tire repair guy, but I'm going to be a music producer. How many of you know you won't have a tire repair job for very long? And you can go back to the tire repair shop for a paycheck all you want and keep telling the tire repair shop what awesome music you're producing. They're not bringing you a paycheck. You need to go to the boss and find out what he's paying you to do. Because that is what the provision is for. Now, you don't know the way God works. You're working on tires, singing your little song, and you fix the car of a music producer who then hires you because he saw that you're a diligent worker in doing the tires and promotes you. And you just one day you're doing tires, the next day you're doing music. But you are faithful to where God puts you because you never would have met the music producer in music because he don't listen to musicians. And he just drives here and there. You wouldn't bump into him anywhere except at the car repair place where he sets you up for success. God is working on levels that you don't know. Every blessing is multidimensional. It takes a multidimensional plan to come up with God's success. You can't do it on your own. Come up with all the plans you want. You'll never come up with it. God has it all worked out. You need a multidimensional plan to access a multidimensional blessing. You can only get that if you're talking to God about the goals. That's why you've got to trust him and do what he says to do, right? So we have to write goals in every area of your life based on your values. And we're going to give you I'm going to give you three steps in a second on how to do this, right? But it's going to take a little cooperation with God, and you're going to have to be brave. You're going to have to be brave because you're going to have to say no to some things to protect your values. The funny thing about getting married, all of a sudden, you don't date anymore. Anybody other than your wife. Before you get engaged, there's a possibility that any single person is your spouse. But then all of a sudden, the one is the one you're married to. I have people, married people come to me and say, maybe I missed it. Nope, you got a ring. That's the one. Maybe it's the wrong one. Nope, I see the ring. That's the one. You're locked in. Locked and loaded. That's it. Right? That's it. The possibility's ended. That's it. That's the one. Right? So I got four very quick points, and then I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to celebrate the new year. Amen? I'm going quickly. I know I got a lot of information. Watch the video. All right, number one, start with what's in your heart. I don't know what God wants me to do. Start what's in your heart. If you got to believe. If you're not saved, get saved. All right? We're gonna believe that you're already a Christ follower. If not, you might want to start a relationship with him to get his goals, right? Start with what's in your heart. Get out a piece of paper. Start a notebook. See the areas of your life, maybe the areas that bring the most pain. And start dream some goals up, right? Let me give you some, like, for your marriage, we'll say, like, I would like a marriage. Like, do you have a vision for your marriage? The biggest part of your life, do you have a vision for it? Well, what do you mean? Our vision is not to get divorced. Yeah, you're living not to lose. That is not living, right? That's avoiding death. That's not living. What would a vision for your marriage look like? Well, vision for my marriage is that my wife and I live out of a common vision. I want us to live out of a common passion. I want us to be a place that we both can be vulnerable with one another. I would like our marriage to be a place that other people feel safe. I want a marriage that we're mutually encouraging. This is a vision for my marriage that I pray to God over, right? It may be different for you. You might be like, vision for my marriage that we do square dancing once a week. You know, we're going to be square dance kings of Florida. I don't know. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know. We're gonna rescue cats together, and we're gonna be. I don't know. I don't know what kind of. That might be from the pit right there. That one. I doubt that's a God ordained vision right there. Because Jesus hates cats. Everybody knows that. Sorry. I talked to him. Hates him. Right? So write this down over every area of your life that matters. There should be a vision for your marriage. There should be a vision for your family. There should be a vision for your finances. Do you have a vision for your finances? God, I never have enough money to pay my bills. Do you have a vision, or are you just hoping? We want to turn our hopes into some goals here. I just hope. I'm just doing whatever, and hopefully at the end of the month I have money. Like, you think that's magic? There's actually numbers involved, and you can count them, and you can make them do things. But not if you ignore them. I just hope that my wife is happy. Well, do you know how she gets happy? Do you know what makes her happy? Are you doing those things? Do you know what the enemy is attacking her with? Are you fighting those things? Nope, I'm just staying married and trusting that, well, doesn't work that way. So you want to write down under all the areas that matter, just what's in your heart. What do you want to have happen? Try to avoid writing negative things down. Like, I don't want to fight is not a vision. Because a healthy marriage has conflict, and you have discussions about conflict so that your goals can be parsed out. So you can't be, you know, the absence of conflict. There's got to be conflict. There's good over evil. That's conflict, right? So try not to make it negative. Make it positive. Like, we come to resolutions of conflict. That's a positive. We respect one another in disagreements. That's a positive. Right? Are you getting me? So in these areas that involve your spouse, maybe you're not on the same page yet, you can begin to pray these things through, right? Write down what you want on yours. And so you might want to start with the areas that produce the most pain, because those are the most fresh in your mind, right? Those are the ones you're thinking about the most. So you write them down, and just under each one, just begin to just, here's what I would like to see. Just, this is in my heart. This is just me coming up with goals. Personally, this is what I would like, right? And number two, right? Number two, every day, pray through these goals. Every day. You got to pray through them every day. I suggest you do this in a digital format. You can write if you would like, but the reason I say digital is we pray through these every day, and we change them as we're led by the Spirit. There's areas that we'll be praying through, and we'll get ideas, and God will correct our motives, and we'll change it a little bit. What I do is I have a fresh one every month, and what I do is I get, like, today's the 31st, right? And so on the 31st, I will get today's prayer list. I'll copy it for January. And every day as I'm praying through my prayer list, I massage it a little bit if I'm led. Now, sometimes I don't have a lot of time. I'm praying through it, and I just pray through it. Other times I look at it, I dwell on one thing, and I start to get vision that I didn't have before. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm praying for this. This is what I really need to be looking for. This is what I really, and you change it a little bit. And so at the end of January, I'll stop. I'll copy that one. I'll make a new one for February. And I'll look back maybe at December and see how it's already changed. I like looking back at old prayer lists and seeing things that aren't on my prayer list now. I like prayers answered. I like seeing that I don't have to contend for that anymore. None of us like people leaving our lives. Sometimes I like it because I get to take them off my prayer list. Is that mean? Sometimes your problems will be solved by the problem maker not being around anymore. I have found prayer to be very effective in that. I'm just being honest right now. Sometimes, I'm just going to be a little more honest. Sometimes people leave and I just rejoice. I get to take them off the Instagram follow. Like, it's like a happy day. Thank you, Jesus. That's so mean, Pastor. Well, I live happy. Was that bad, honey? Was that bad? That was bad? And I cry when I take them off my follows. It almost wrecks my day, but I muster through by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let me just add this about people. I like having friends. I really like being in crowds. I like being friends with people who want to be friends with me. I really dislike trying to earn a friend who doesn't want to be friends with me. And I really dislike people in my life who don't want to be friends with me. So if you want to be part of my family and talk bad about my wife, I'm not going to be upset when I pray you away. If you want to be in the church and you want to cause problems in the church, I'm not going to be upset when the Lord finally delivers us from you. I want people who want to be helped. I want people who want to be loved. I want people who want to be everything God created them to be. And if you, like, well, I think you should, and that you, I mean, we don't need a critical spirit in this body, amen? And so I have no problem, like, yeah, I'm sure there's a church for you. This ain't it. Amen? But I love you guys. It's none of you. You got to pray. Pray for your kids, the right people in their lives. I mean, you pray for your kids, the wrong people out of their lives. Amen? Yeah. That's what a good parent does. Amen? What do you think Jesus is praying over your church? What do you think he's praying over your life? Wrong people out. You can't help everybody. I was talking with the leader this morning. He's like, I don't understand. I see people who have this problem in their life, and that's kind of one of my strengths, and nobody wants any counsel. Nobody wants any advice. I'm like, I could help, but nobody wants it. Well, I'm not killing myself over people who don't want my advice. There's people who do. I want to talk to them. Amen? Number three, hallelujah. So we're praying over this every day. Number three, we're going to set actionable goals. Actionable goals. I want to be a pop star is not an actionable goal. I want to be Reinhard Bonnke is not an actionable goal. That's not something you have power over. You have to set goals with things that you... I want to win the gold medal in the Olympics. That is not... if you're here right now, that's not an actionable goal. More than likely. More than likely. Right? You have to set goals that have actions attached to them. Right? Like, okay, I'm trying to be anonymous here. You can't be Reinhard Bonnke. But you can learn how to win souls if that's in your heart. I was in a season of my life, I'm like, I'm winning at least one soul every week on the streets. Period. I knew I could do that. And I did. And it was like, sometimes it'd be the end of the week, and I'm like, well, I haven't won anybody today. I want to go to bed, but I got to go hit the streets, right? Because that was an actionable goal, right? And so I was able to achieve it. I didn't make myself Reinhard Bonnke. I didn't make myself Todd White. I made myself Carl Thomas, who wins souls. Right? So you got to set some actionable goals, right? And in order to do that, you're going to have to set some boundaries. You're going to set some boundaries, right? With your goals are going to be boundaries. The moment you set a goal, that makes it more important than other things. That means you're going to have to be courageous and say no to some things that aren't in line with your goals. You're going to have to be courageous enough to set some priorities. Some things are more important than others. Some people in your life will be more important than others. Period. Like single married women, you're going to have single friends who are jealous of your marriage and constantly want you to do things with them without your spouse. And at some point, you're going to smarten up and be like, oh, this is not clean. Why don't you come over to dinner with us? No, why don't you go out? What, you're not allowed to go out? Your husband don't let you go out? Yeah, I'm not going to be able to hang out with you tonight. Does this make sense? Don't let jealousy, you know? Like, hey, I love you, but it sounds a little jealous. You know? I'm just being honest. Is that all right? So you're going to set some actionable goals. You're going to set boundaries to protect these things. Amen. Number four, last and final. You're going to include the people that they affect. If I talk to couples and they don't pray together with their spouse, maybe your spouse isn't, you know, on fire as you, but first of all, make that a goal that you're going to pray together. If you pray together, God will invade, all right? And if you're not praying together as a couple, repent. And an easy way to do that is like when you get in bed at night, before you go to sleep, just hold hands and pray for your family, pray for your loved ones, pray for your pastor, pray for your church. Pray for your jobs, pray for your finances, and pray that God would speak to you guys about these important areas of your life. Right? Pray with the people. If you're leading a ministry area, you know, you should have a vision for that ministry area. You should include people in on that. Around the, I guess the 80s, the early 80s, American factories found out that the Japanese were doing things a lot better. And they didn't understand why they were doing so much better. And they found out that they implemented something that had various names, but one name was total quality management. And what that meant was everybody involved in a process has some wisdom on how the process should be done. Right? And so you may have a vision for your ministry area that the people in your ministry area are like, that is never going to work. I wish you would stop talking to us about it. At some point, you need to talk to these people in your life about what they think about the vision you've set for them. If you got a vision for your kids, maybe you should articulate that during your family devotions. And they'll be like, I don't have any desire to do that at all. Oh, well, what's in your heart? Well, what do you know? Now I can pray with some wisdom. Does this make sense? You got to include people in these conversations. Find out what's in their heart, right? In your marriage, your kids specifically, you should have some communication that let's discover what's in each other's hearts. You know, I pray for my wife every day that she would live out of her passions. You know, I don't want her living out of obligation. I don't want her living out of duty. I want her to live out of her passion. What's in her heart, what God has placed in her heart. And so I believe in 2018, if you'll do some of this stuff, that if you'll cooperate with God, as you pray through these lists, and you ask God to speak to you while you're praying, you're going to articulate on paper or on a digital screen goals that God has for you. And you're going to see yourself next year, this time, actually closer, feeling more fulfilled, feeling like you're actually are on God's path for every area of your life. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Let me pray for you real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay, let me pray this real quick. I had something I wanted to pray at the beginning of service, and I forgot. If you are a business owner or you work off commission, and by commission, I mean if you don't sell something, you don't get a paycheck, right? Or a significant amount of your income comes from tips or, you know, a variable way that could be zero, right? If that's you, I want you to raise a hand. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're a business owner. Maybe you work, you know, in sales. Maybe like, you know, you're a waitress and you get that low minimum wage thing and you need. If that's you, put a hand in the air. I want to see who I'm praying for. Okay. Amen. If you're near one of these people, put your hand on their shoulder. And I just believe the Lord is going to bless these people. I'm going to pray for everybody on salary later. But right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I got a testimony. I've been praying this and then I got a testimony emailed to me that the person came into 2017 with a number of in debt that like was startling. And they earned more than that in December. So imagine whatever the scary debt number in your life, like that's 1 month's pay for you. God can do that. He's a God of miracles, right? So pray real good like you wish somebody would pray for you in that situation. Just pray real quick, out loud. Pray abundance and that they would have a vision for what that money is for. If it's tied to your lust, then, you know, I pray that it won't happen at all. But they would have a vision of what that money is for. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would abundance, 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 abundance. Open doors, grace, grace, grace. In the name of Jesus. Okay, good. Now, those of you who just received prayer, pray with me for everybody else. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare miracle money, checks in the mail, bills paid off, gifts and surprises, the Holy Ghost hookup, finding money, debts paid off, blessings and increase. Blessings and increase. Blessings and increase. Blessings and increase. Blessings and increase in the name of Jesus. And we command the spirit of poverty to leave their lives in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of infirmity that infects their finances will be broken off in the name of Jesus. Generational poverty will be broken off in the name of Jesus. That would be a wise manager of money. Amen. Now put your hand in your heart. Let me pray for the 2018. Lord Jesus, let's stand up here with me. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Ha. ha, 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 ha. Jesus. Father, I pray for a spirit of prophecy, spirit of revelation to be with them, to be present in their times of asking. Ha, that a spirit of revelation would come. Ha, proclaiming the goodness of God over every area of their life, Father. Father, that they would hear you say, I am with you and that I love you. Dream big, aim high. Dream big, aim high. Father, I pray that they would be courageous to protect the values that they articulate, the things that are the God things in their life that are important, and that you would empower them to achieve every area that you've set out for them in 2018 in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give a clap offering to the Lord if you would, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, we love you. Have an amazing 2018. If you're a visitor, we want to meet you at the Next Steps table. If you need a miracle in your life, if you need healing, you need a breakthrough, you need delivered, we're going to have some people right here at the front, and they're going to pray for you.